God is faithful. Well, hello everyone, and it's good to be together again, even if it's online. And those which will come in tonight, praise God, we trust that they also will be blessed. But before we start, let's commit our time before the Lord and come with that expectancy in our hearts to receive, because that's what God looks for. Whatever we're going through, if we come believing just to receive that engrafted word into our hearts, we will be absolutely amazed what God can and will continue to do, because faith comes by hearing, brothers and sisters. Father, tonight we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the cross. We thank you for Calvary. We thank you for the blood of Jesus that atones for each of us, that you have made us a new creation in Christ Jesus, and that we stand complete in you. Lord, we thank you for our fellowship, our coming together in you. And Lord, we desire that you are glorified and lifted up in our gathering, as we don't look to self or circumstances, but that we look away and we look to the cross of Jesus Christ. And Father, we thank you for your blessing tonight over your word. We thank you for the gifts that you've set into the church, and above all, the unction, the anointing, Lord, that teaches us, that breaks the yoke of bondage and sin, that builds us up in the faith for these last days. Lord, we thank you for this now, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' mighty name. Well, I want to speak tonight not on something that is new, but nevertheless, I believe, is still something the Holy Spirit wants to impart to us, because that's what he does. He imparts to us blessing through his word, revelation, faith, teaching, wisdom, knowledge, everything and more that we need to know through his word. And tonight, I have a title here, which is called, Which Are You Sacrificing? Which Are You Sacrificing? And I want us to turn tonight to Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. And I want us to look at verse 22 of Galatians chapter 4. And verse 22, and our title for this is, Which Are You Sacrificing? And here it says in verse 22, For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by the bondwoman and the other by the free woman. And we shall look at this in greater detail on these two sacrifices, the sacrifice of Isaac, but also we're going to see that Abraham also sacrificed Ishmael as well. So there are two sacrifices. We tend to think that there's only one, but I want to show tonight that there are in fact actually two. And we're calling this teaching tonight, Which Are You Sacrificing? Now, Paul is not dealing here in what we've just read with regard to sin, but with the relation of the natural to the spiritual. Now, the natural, of course, we know is what we're living in, what we are. It also is the flesh. So there is the natural. And we often use this, don't we, in a metaphorical sense. You know, in the natural or the spiritual, or naturally speaking, when we're speaking naturally about things, we're using human wisdom in that sense, the things of the world, to try and explain the difference between the natural and the spiritual. So I assume that we know where we're coming with this. Now, the natural can only be turned into the spiritual through sacrifice. That is the only way. And that is, of course, where we understand this in Galatians 2:20, of which he says, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So, of course, which he's speaking about here is living in the flesh, and the flesh has to be dealt with. And that's no new revelation. We all know this, but we're very aware of how the Holy Spirit is working this. So the flesh is crucified so that we're no longer, in a sense, always enslaved in that natural environment, the natural things. Now, we look also in Galatians 5, chapter 5, and verse 24, of which it says, and those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. So the flesh has those passions and desires, of which the cross that we daily take up, the Holy Spirit will deal with those passions and those desires, which is the natural side, the carnal side in that sense. Now, we're not, of course, talking about two natures, for there is only one nature if you are born again, and that is the nature you have. However, Romans and Galatians does speak of, in a sense, a higher and a lower nature. And we also have that choice to decide in that sense whether we want to walk in that new life, new nature, by the cross, or if we continue to sin, then we fall away, and finally it is death. And it speaks about where, how can you crucify Christ again? So we always have that choice. We can decide whether we sow to the flesh or to the spirit, the law of life or the law of death. There's always that choice that is given to us, that free will. So that's what we're talking about here. Now, with regard to the natural life, itself is not sinful. But we are to flee from sin, because sin belongs to the devil. And if we continue to sow to sin, that is the self-life, what I want, then fine, it's going to lead to death and hell. So we always have this option. But when we speak about the natural life, it's not sinful. But wherever, in a sense, being drawn away to flee from sin, to flee from those things that will try to bring and pull us down. And this, of course, is what the enemy and demons try to do. That's what they're trying to do tonight. They, of course, don't want us to hear this message. They're ever warring to try and draw us and bring us down. But, of course, the Bible says we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. That's why we have these promises which we confess. We speak over our lives, over our minds, over our circumstances, because all of this helps us to overcome. That is the power of the confessed word of God over situations and whatever we might find ourselves. That's why, of course, we're called overcomers. But the natural life itself is not sinful in that sense. But it's giving up my right to myself. In other words, that independent spirit, what I wish to do. And this is our battles, hence our trials and what we go through. And very often our trials and what we go through are, in a sense, so designed by God that we are surrendering that independent self-life. In other words, we are letting go. We are getting out of the way. We are not hindering the work of the Holy Spirit, but that we surrender. And God very often uses trials and whatever it is we go through in order to let go of those things. God knows. He's in complete control. And it's interesting that through what we go through, remember our title tonight is, Which Are You Sacrificing? Often, what is good and noble and right often keeps us actually from God's very best. We so often can be consumed in doing the right things, saying the right thing, and so on, and being noble, being right, being good, but sometimes this often keeps us from the very best, the perfect will of God, in other words. You see, most of us know what is evil. We know what's filthy. We know what's wrong. We know what's barbaric. We know what's defiled. And it's interesting that that doesn't take very much debate, decision, or discernment at all. But we often find ourselves debating and arguing what is supposed to be good. They are the controversial areas in life. Politics does it. The world does it. Morality does it. We do it at home. We do it with families. We try and do what is right and good with the family. But that's not always right in God's eyes. And this is the whole point. You see, it's good that opposes the very best. And there's the difference. You see, we've learnt in theology that there is the perfect and permissive will of God. And to walk in the perfect will of God takes a great working of the Holy Spirit and a separation and sanctification. It takes the working of the cross, dealing with the self-life, the self-life that still wants to hold on and be in control instead of letting go. So looking at the perfect will of God is attaining to the very best that God has and has for us and for our walk. And that's the difference. You see, the higher we go with moral excellence, the greater the opposition is to Jesus and obedience to him. This is why we are facing these giants. This is why we're all of us having great oppositions in our lives, because we're moving into the very best that God has for us and wants for us. And the higher we go with God, the more we're going to be opposed by the powers of darkness. But take heart, brothers and sisters, because that is a good sign. If you are being opposed, that is a good sign you are going higher with God. This is what we call the deeper life, going deeper with God. You see, those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh and the lusts and the passions. It's that denial of the self-life that we read so often in Matthew 16:24. Let him deny self and take up his cross. It's not self-denial, it's denial of self. It is that willingness to surrender the self-life on that altar to God. For we find that we can do no more than that. That's why we're calling this teaching tonight, Which Are You Sacrificing? Because maybe some of us are actually not sacrificing the right thing, you see? And we need to discern this and know. Some of us still may be sacrificing our time to have prayer with God. Or some of us may still understand that we're sacrificing when we go to church on Sunday. Some of you may think you are sacrificing tonight by coming into this room and listening to this message. Brothers and sisters, I've got news for you. Anyone can do that. Religious people can do that. But that is not what we're talking about. It's a deliberate choice to go to Calvary and surrender that independent, selfish life that we once had. It's a willingness to offer and give it up to God. Then the Holy Spirit, he'll work, he'll take over. And I'll tell you, the sign, if you've done that, is that the enemy will start to buffet, will start to work. Those demons will soon give themselves away. And even though you may be going through a trial, you think to yourself, well, praise God, I must be getting something right. Hallelujah. You see? Someone said this, very interestingly, beware of refusing to go to the funeral of your own independence. I'll give this again. Beware of refusing to go to the funeral of your own independence. Interesting, that. You see, the natural life is not spiritual. It's interesting that when we become born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, we're not really spiritual yet at that point. We've just received the new birth. We've been made alive anew in Christ. It takes a while to become spiritual, to walk in the Spirit. It's not something that you attain immediately. I wish it was. It'd make my life as preaching and teaching easier, but alas, it's not. And so, you see, the natural life is not spiritual at this time. But it can be through the cross, this sacrifice, knowing that you are sacrificing the right thing. Because if you're sacrificing the wrong thing, you are religious and you are deceived. Sacrificing a daily prayer life is not the sacrifice we're talking about. That is a result of the giving up of the self-life. In other words, when you surrender the self-life, that then disposes you to be able to have that time of prayer, to be in an attitude of prayer 24/7. That's the difference. You see, our goal is that the supernatural will become natural to us. And that's ultimately what God is doing. He's so working that the supernatural in our lives, that is the fullness of God in us, becomes natural to us, like breathing. So that we see these gifts, we see these miracles, we see these things that are written in the Word of God, because that should be natural to us. Not something that's supernatural in that sense. And it comes as a result of the cross, that sacrifice in our lives. Again, I remind you in Galatians 4:22. For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by the bondwoman and the other by the free woman. You see, if the cross isn't present, a person will live a double life. And that's what happens. This is why God presents the cross to us, because it stops us from living a double life. And sadly, in Christendom, many live double lives. We probably live double lives, or have lived double lives. But God is putting that to death. Because it's only one life that we have. And it's not our life. Our life is hidden in Christ Jesus. It's the life of Christ in us and through us, living his life now. That's the only life we look to. And we look to that life, and every time we look to the death of Christ on the cross, that is the life that he's given to us. His death has now given us his new life in and through each one of us. And it is that that must live in and through us. That's why we must always daily look to Christ, look to his life, who's the author and finisher of our faith. We daily look to Jesus and not to self. That is the difference. Why does God demand the cross? Well, the flesh has to be crucified. You see, God's perfect will was for the natural to be changed into the spiritual through obedience. And it still comes back to this word obedience. Where Adam, Eve failed, we triumph in Christ, who is the second Adam, who obeyed. He obeyed unto death, the surrender of his life. And so God demands that cross because the flesh is crucified, and as a result of the flesh being crucified, God's perfect will is accomplished in and through me. And what is his perfect will? It is obedience. And it's interesting that for obedience, sin made it necessary for the natural to be sacrificed. That's why he went to the cross, in order to deal with the natural life, to deal with the flesh that man was enslaved to. Isn't it wonderful how God uses everything? He uses the negative. He can use sin. He can use rebellion. He can use all these defilements that man has and goes through, and he turns it around together for good. Why does he do this? Because of the cross. He can do it now because it atones. It deals with sin. It deals with the whole man, mind, body, spirit, the whole being. Now, taking this a step further, in which our title tonight is called, Which Are You Sacrificing? It's interesting that Abraham had to offer up, in a sense, two sacrifices. He's offered up first Ishmael. And it's interesting that Ishmael had to be offered up first before then Isaac could be offered. And let's turn now to Genesis 21. Genesis 21, because here we get these spiritual analogies. It's wonderful how it's all found in the Old Testament and how God builds a revelation on it through the centuries, that we see the deeper meanings and truths of his word. Galatians 21, verses 8 to 14. And here it deals with the birth of Isaac, the promised son that God said he would have in his old age. Genesis 21 verses 8 to 14. So the child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast on the same day that Isaac was weaned. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar the Egyptian, whom she had borne to Abraham, scoffing. Therefore she said to Abraham, cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, namely with Isaac. And the matter was very displeasing to Abraham's sight because of his son. She wasn't bothered, but we note that Abraham was. But God said to Abraham, do not let it be displeasing to your sight because of the lad or because of the bondwoman. Whatever Sarah has said to you, listen to her voice, for in Isaac your seed shall be called. Yet I will also make a nation of the son of the bondwoman, because he is your seed. So Abraham rose early in the morning and took bread and a skin of water, and putting it on her shoulder, he gave it and the boy to Hagar and sent her away. Then she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. I'll stop just there. So we see quite clearly Abraham is distressed by this. What in fact Sarah is doing, ultimately we'll see down the corridors of time and history that what she was doing there was the right thing. But what was happening here? There's sacrificing going on. First, the natural, the flesh, has to be sacrificed. And here we get the understanding of the idea of Ishmael, Hagar, after the flesh. He's surrendering, he's giving his son up, it's still his son, his seed, he's giving him up, and he's providing for their provisions and sending them away. And we know quite clearly that Abraham is displeased. He's upset about what is happening. He doesn't argue with his wife, but he's doing something. You see, God is leading here. He knows something in his heart that's happening. The boys are not getting on. The flesh and spirit are fighting. There's warfare. You see, this is why God separates us. This is why God brings us out from the flesh, from Babylon, the things that war against us, that war against logic, the natural mind, the natural things. God separates us so that he can begin to bring the spiritual, to change us so that we can become spiritual people, walking not after the flesh, but after the spirit, as it speaks so clearly in Romans 8. We see this same type of analogy happening here. You see, we try to offer up the spiritual sacrifices, don't we? And the problem is, they're not accepted, and I'll tell you why the spiritual sacrifices are not accepted, because we haven't yet sacrificed the natural, the flesh. We've not surrendered, died. And this is why so often, brothers and sisters, our faith doesn't work. Our faith is hindered. You know, we talk about hindrances to the faith. Well, this is what it is. It's the flesh getting in the way. Unbelief, the carnal. And so you see, we want to try and offer up these spiritual sacrifices, but we find that they're not accepted. And then we get down and depressed and, oh, it doesn't work. And why isn't this happened? Why isn't this person healed? Or why didn't I get this money that I needed? Or whatever it is. That's the problem. We're all too ready to want to offer the spiritual sacrifice, but we're not so keen on sacrificing the natural, the flesh. I must decrease that he increases. There's the difference, brothers and sisters. That's why we have Romans 12, 1 and 2. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice. That's what you do. You settle it, just like Jesus settled the Garden of Gethsemane and just waited for them to come and take him and put him to the cross. That's why I say you don't have to look for crucifixion. You don't have to try and crucify self. If you settle it, the Holy Spirit will have a way. You'll know. And you'll know if you walk daily with the cross in your life, because you will know by the buffeting. You'll know by how the enemy is trying to work and so on. That's why we go through much trial and tribulation, of which to make it into the kingdom of God, the Bible says. But you see, brothers and sisters, if we resist the cross, which is the deeper life, if we resist that flesh sacrifice, if we resist all of this, it's simply going to be turmoil in your life. And you're going to be oppressed. You're going to have no joy. You're going to simply just be there, or be in a meeting, or whatever it would be, but no life is coming out of you. Not coming out of you. And the reason being is because you're still trying to offer up those spiritual sacrifices, and God isn't accepting them. Until it's you placed upon that altar. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I tell you, brothers and sisters, this is still some of the problems we have in the body. But God is merciful. We have to settle it. And the Holy Spirit will put it out, whatever it is that's hindering us, whatever our trials, whatever sin is in your life, whatever unbelief is in your life, the Holy Spirit will have a way of putting it out into the desert. Just like Hagar and Ishmael. That's where it will be put out. Surrendered. Just like Abraham had to surrender them and give them up. You see? It's that death to the self-life. And once you've done that, brothers and sisters, then he will provide those wells and those oases in the desert to fulfill all the promises that God has given to us. He's faithful. Let's look at verses 15 to 19 of Genesis 21. 15 to 19 of Genesis 21. And the water in the skin was used up, and she placed the boy under one of the shrubs. Then she went and sat down across from him at a distance of about a bow shot. For she said to herself, let me not see the death of the boy. So she sat opposite him and lifted her voice and wept. And God heard the voice of the lad. Then the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said to her, what ails you? Hagar, fear not, for God has heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad, and hold him with your hand, for I will make him a great nation. Then God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water, and she went and filled the skin with water, and gave the lad a drink. So God was with the lad, but in the wilderness, and became an archer. And he dwelt in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother took a wife for him from the land of Egypt. Look what God does with the natural, and how he changes the natural and brings it to the spiritual. And this is exactly what he's doing with you and I, brothers and sisters. It's when we come to the end of ourselves. It's when it seems our wells have dried up. There's nothing left. The desert seems to be consuming us and taking us over. Suddenly, God then opens our eyes to see those wells of living water that we can participate. But Abraham had to make that sacrifice of the natural. He had to give it up in order for the spiritual. And of course we know what the spiritual was Isaac, his son. And there with the spiritual, God tested yet Abraham again in the future, as we know. And as a result of Abraham, his faith being perfected, where he came to that place to offer up Isaac, and he was willing to do that, human flesh, a man was willing to offer up his heir. God looked at that and said, if man can do that, then how much more shall I do that in offering up my son for the sin of the world? Can we not see these wonderful parallels working through Scripture, how God uses them? How we see this being worked out in our lives and in your life. Isn't it wonderful how we almost become a part of this? It's like it's attached to us. It's our experience. It's what God's doing. It's the same spirit that was working there way back with Isaac and Jacob and all the patriarchs. The same spirit that's working with you and I this very moment as we breathe in his presence. Isn't it wonderful how God works all of this? That is why, brothers and sisters, that is the question. That is the challenge. Which are you sacrificing? You have to decide on this. Because God is making us into spiritual beings. Men and women, sons of God, growing up, maturing. The sad tragedy is that so many Christians today don't want to grow up. They don't want that walk in the Spirit. It costs too much. You see, to walk in the Spirit is the way of the cross. To walk in the Spirit means that my self-life, that independent spirit, I willingly surrender. That's too big a cost for most Christians. That's why they don't grow and develop. Because they don't know what they're sacrificing. They think they're sacrificing the things of the Spirit. But that's why their prayers don't get answered. That's why faith doesn't get answered. Because the natural has to be dealt with first. For Abraham to go on in the faith, to be matured in the faith, he had to surrender Ishmael, Hagar. And we note after that how he then moves on and God's working with him. And the son, Isaac, grows up. This is why it is a work of the Spirit, not a work of the flesh. Your flesh does not glorify God. It is only the things of the Spirit. It's as I decrease, he increases. It's as I let go of those hindrances in my life, those props. Brother Bob interestingly reminded me something that the vision I had years and years ago, I'd almost forgotten this. I forget when we had it, but the Lord showed me a puppet, and this puppet was held by cords, by strings. And as I watched and looked at this puppet, I saw a pair of scissors cutting each string. And I thought, gosh, the last one, if that's cut, that whole puppet's going to collapse and fall to the ground. But you know what happened? The last snip, that puppet was free, and it didn't collapse. It was free to move and soar in the Spirit with God. That is what he's doing with you and I, brothers and sisters. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, again tonight, we believe that you have spoken into our lives, into our hearts. For faith comes by hearing the word of God. Only you can deliver us. Only you can set us free. Help us to discern what we're sacrificing. The reason, Father, we're not always getting prayers answered in faith is because we want the spiritual, but we're not willing yet to deal with the natural. We're not willing yet to deal with the flesh that hinders, that stops the work of the Holy Spirit. But Lord, we hold on to promises that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And he who hath begun that work will complete and finish it. So this is why we can hold on and we can confess your word over what at times looks hopeless. All of us at times, Father, we wanted to run away. All of us, Father, have let you down, betrayed you, just like the disciples did when they ran away and they denied you, Father. We've done it. But Lord, in your mercy, you've drawn us back. Why? Because like Peter and those disciples, you prayed for us that our faith will fail not. Oh Lord, we thank you. Thank you, Father, tonight for making this meeting possible, for bringing the saints into the room. I pray they will be mightily blessed, preserved and kept by the blood of Jesus. Order their steps, Father, when they go out and when they come in. Cause and help each one of them to walk the way of the cross, that surrendering up, that letting go, that walking in the Spirit. This is why we're baptized in the Holy Spirit, empowered in order to be able to do this. Father, we thank you for the deeper life, its teaching, what it's bringing forth. And we believe ultimately what is being brought forth, Father, is the bride of Christ as she's making herself ready, because we know we're in the end times. We're in the last days. Jesus is coming soon. And that is why we are looking up as our redemption draws near. Help us to look away from this world. We're simply passing through as those sojourners. We are with you, seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Lord, we thank you again. Thank you, Father, for this meeting. I pray you'll be with each saint. Bless, preserve, and keep each one of them until we assemble again, because we ask this now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen.